and now Evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter. As we study through the book of James, I've enjoyed the study because it's interesting how James can bring out so many thoughts that are so prevalent today. What is the one announcement that we hear so often about teachers? We have the announcement made often in congregations across the country. We need teachers. If you can teach the nursery, please volunteer. If you can teach the primary school, please volunteer. If you can teach the junior high or the high school, please volunteer. And the request goes on and on. But isn't it strange how it seems that James is saying just the opposite in the first verse of the third chapter? My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. James, are you saying that we really shouldn't make these announcements to ask for many teachers? James, are you saying that if a congregation has many teachers that they're in danger? I don't think that James in this particular point is referring to the quantity of teachers as much as he is to the quality of teachers. If you will, look with me to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Hold your finger there in James and turn over to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. This is very similar to what James is expressing, is what Jesus expressed in the 23rd chapter in verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. And he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We should have the attitude of servanthood. We do not need in this congregation many people to say, I want to be the teacher. I want to be the one that holds that honorable office. The truth is we need many that are willing to teach, but they're willing to teach because they have that servanthood. They don't want to be called rabbi. They don't want to be called father. They don't want to be called master. Jesus said, be a servant, and that is the greatest. This evening, let us realize that here at East Gaston, if we're going to raise our children in the way that we should, we need good teachers. So this evening, if you're teaching, listen close to the words of James. If you think that sometime in the future you might want to be a teacher, listen close to the words of James, because what James says is very true. If you're not willing to come into a teaching program and to be the best teacher you can be, don't. That's what James is saying. If you don't want to give it your all, if you do not want to work and be a servant to your students, it's better for you not to teach at all. We need servants to fill the honorable office of teachers. But we should be very careful. Why, James? Because knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We need to be careful if we're teaching. First of all, I share with you the fact when we look over to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, in verse 18 it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Why must teachers be careful? There's no room for error. Now yes, teachers are going to make mistakes, but there's no room for error. You see, we can't add to the words. We can't take away from the words. As teachers, we must proclaim only the truth, stand on the truth, not add or take away from the truth. And that, perhaps, is why James says, it's a very risky job in teaching. You'll have to answer for what you say. Also, I think this is an appropriate place to add that also as teachers, we need to be careful that we teach only the Word, that we leave out our opinions, that we leave out what we might call our pet peeves, You know, every one of us, I imagine, has at least one thing that we like to stand on our soapbox and tell the world that has nothing to do with the Bible. We all do. It might be political, it might be historical, it could be a daily thing, but we all have something that we probably would like to tell something about. And the fact is, the classroom in the church is no place for it. So as teachers, we need to be very careful. We need to realize that, now listen, time is too short, God's message is too important, and we need to deny ourselves. And we need to speak only that message as teachers. The pulpit and the teaching is no place for opinions and for personal beliefs, but only for the Word of God. How we need to realize this, because teachers can stumble, and when a teacher stumbles, very often they cause many to stumble. Whereas a student can stumble and he may pull aside only a few, a teacher has the ability to pull aside many when they stumble. And I believe that's why James says they receive the greater condemnation. How we need to beware and to be careful. Why do you think teachers, in a sense, are in danger? Why does James say here, be careful? Even though it's good, be careful. Wouldn't you say, as we read further into the third chapter, that it's because they must use their tongue? Can you teach a class without using your tongue? No. You must use your tongue, but then James turns around and says, your tongue is the most deadly member of the body that you have. So the truth is, someone must do it. But the one that does it must be very careful how they use their tongue, because they can be a deadly poison. They can be an unruly evil. So we must be careful when we're teaching and guard the use of our speech. Notice the second verse. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. In many things we offend all. Now remember, this is related to the first verse. James says, be careful if you want to be a teacher. Why? Because you're going to be judged someday. Why? Because we all offend. So what he is saying is what we know from Romans the 3rd chapter and verse 23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So what he's doing is he's re-emphasizing the fact. He's saying, listen, you're all going to make mistakes, but realize as teachers you have to be very careful. Make sure you don't offend, because you're going to pull others down. Make sure especially you don't offend with your speech, because that's your task, is using your speech. But then he kind of throws a negative point in. He says, let me show you how serious it is. He says, the man that can control his speech is perfect. So first of all, he tells teachers, be careful with how you use your speech. Make sure you don't offend. And then he says, teachers, everyone is going to offend in speech. No one's perfect. Well, James, is there any hope? Is there any hope? I want to be a teacher, James, but I don't want to cause many to offend, and I know that I'm going to offend sometime because I'm not perfect. And James gives us four illustrations. The horse, the boat, and he moves on into the latter of verse 5 and 6 and speaks of the fire. In verse 7 he speaks of all wild beasts. Notice, if you will, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We as teachers need to learn from the horse. You see, when we think about our personal life as teachers, what is the thing that can destroy so many things? It's our tongue. You see, in our personal life, it's the tongue that can destroy the home. It's the tongue that can destroy relationships between parents and children and between spouses. It's the tongue that can destroy congregations. It's the tongue that can destroy friendships. You see, it's the tongue that can do so much. Let's think back to when we were children. Before you and your brother got into a fist fight, what happened first? You run your mouth, didn't you? That always come before the fist fight. And really, now that we're grown, has little changed? No, little has not changed. Still, before adults do crazy things, it always starts with the words. Well, how do we control ourselves? How do we stop the wild actions? We control the tongue. Here James says, think about that horse. Now, I grew up around horses. The power of a horse is amazing. If a horse chooses to, a horse can destroy a stall. If a horse chooses to, a horse can run straight through a fence. If he chooses to, he can destroy any corral. James says, you take that animal with that power and you put a bit in his mouth. And you put a good rider on his back. And it's just a period of time that same power that could be so destructive can now be used in a positive way. Now that power can be used to carry a rider for many, many miles. Now that power can be used to pull heavy logs. Now that power can be used to plow large fields. The fact is whether or not the bit, the control is in place. Teachers, you have the power to destroy. I was reading an article the other day where a teacher said something very negative to a little boy. She said, "Don't you ever come to church dressed like that again." And his answer was, "No, ma'am, I won't." And it said, the next time I saw that man in church, and he described his suit, and he described everything about him and how nicely he was dressed, and he was laying there in his casket. And the woman that was writing this article said, "I never could get him to come to church. The only thing he would say is, I promised that teacher I'd never come back. No, ma'am, I won't." It doesn't matter if we teach nursery school or adult classes. We have the power to destroy lives as teachers. It doesn't matter if we teach nursery school or adult. We have the power to build and to encourage and admonish lives. The choice is whether or not we're going to control our tongue. Are we going to use our tongue as the Lord would want us to? James continues with another illustration with the ships. Verse 4. "Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Ships. Large. Amazingly large. It's amazing how much they can carry. It's amazing how much they can carry from point A to point B. And what is even more amazing is that almost every time they arrive at the designated point. If they don't, it's a failure. Something's wrong. There's a mistake somewhere. A ship does not leave this port and say, "Wow, what do you think our chances are at arriving at the place we want to go?" Well, they're going to arrive. That's their plan. Here, James says, you think of how great that ship is. And then you think of the furious winds that blow that should just blow it all over the ocean. And James says, but the ship uses those winds to its favor. And he uses that small little helm. And that guides that enormous ship to the designated point. Teachers, that's the tongue. We have an enormous task before us. We all want to take the students in our class from point A to where they are now to point B, stronger, closer, more dedicated to God than what they were before the class begun. How do we do it? The power is in the tongue. If we misuse the tongue, our students are going to walk out of our class 45 minutes later and they're going to be farther away from God than when they came into the class. They're going to be missing the destination of heaven. It's all in how we choose to use that little member of our body, the tongue. He continues with the fire. Verse 5 and 6. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Now notice, before we read 6, as he's talking about the tongue this time, now he's talking about a tongue that's out of control. It's a tongue that is now boasting. one that is not bridled, one that is not being controlled as it should be. And notice what he says about that tongue in verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Behold, it's such a small member. James says, as a matter of fact, it's just a small fire. But then in 6, he says, look at the world of iniquity that it has accomplished. Brethren, it only takes a few minutes to utter false doctrine, but it can destroy the members of your class. It only takes a few minutes to speak a few words that promote division, that promote things that is completely against the unity of Christ. But it can do a world of damage, a world of iniquities. And notice here it says that when that happens, it defiles the whole body. Now that's true in the personal sense, and that's true in the body of this congregation. We have the ability with our tongue to destroy ourselves personally. We have the ability with our tongue, perhaps, to destroy this congregation. Brethren, I hope we believe that. I hope we don't say, well, that's just someone uttering some words. There's really no truth to that. It's James uttering the words, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and it is true. What we say, we should be very, very careful, because it can destroy congregations. We should all be working together as teachers to build up each individual and to build up the unity of the congregation, and never should a classroom promote division within the church. Notice there as he closed verse 6, he said, and setteth on fire the course of nature. Now that's an unusual phrase in the Bible. You see that phrase hardly ever, the course of nature. Another translation says the will of nature. It's believed that what James is saying here is that once someone is born, their life is set into order. And from the time they are born to the time they die, if they carry with them that tongue, verse 5, that is out of control, what happens? He closes by saying, and it is set on the fire of hell. He says it's disaster. He said you can have a child that at a young age loses control of his life. He can grow older and become an adult and loses control of his tongue. All his life he's on his way to hell. Why, James? Because he's never had control of his tongue. We should be teaching our children young to control their tongue. We should be teaching our children young to not gossip, not talk negative about others. But are we? We should not allow it to happen at our house. It should be against the rules. Why? Because that is the road to hell, James says. Why? Because our tongue is a powerful member that can defile the whole body. Notice verse 7. For every kind of beast, and he lists the different kinds of beast, the birds, the serpents, the things in the sea, all of those have been tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But James, what is the one that has never been tamed? But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We have two illustrations that seem pretty positive. We have the horse. We have the ship. Those things are positive illustrations that James shows us how the power can work for us. But then James says, if you don't control it, your tongue can be like the fire. It can burn. It can rage. It can destroy individuals and congregations. And then he compares it to the wild animals. Wild animals have been tamed. Now, even in the beginning in Genesis, it says that those animals would have fear of mankind. So it's against their nature. But James says all of them have been tamed at one time or another by man. He says, but there's one that has never been tamed. Why? It's unruly evil. It's a deadly poison. Tonight, if I am not working at controlling my tongue, James tells me exactly what my tongue is doing. My tongue is working evil. and it's giving deadly poison, which means I'm destroying my soul and probably the souls of others. So the question is, tonight, am I controlling my tongue? If I'm not, I'm working some deadly poison for me and others. Let's all remember the text. The text is that we need good teachers. Here at East Gadsden, we've been blessed with good teachers. We can always use more good teachers. We can look at our attendance in our classes, and the classes have been going up in attendance over the past few months. That means we have teachers that are doing things right. Let's continue to do it right. Let's continue to speak only from God's Word and teach only God's Word. Tonight, is there anyone here that has not abided by God's Word? Now's the time to make it right. If you've never obeyed the Lord in baptism, now's the time to obey the Lord in baptism. If you have, but yet you've fallen away, now's the time to come back. Give control of your life